Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Today we're going to talk about investing, more specifically in making wise investments. And we're going to talk about investing today because that's really what our text talks about. We're still in our series on the parables of Jesus. And again, this week, we have two short parables contained in three verses, the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great value. And here they are. First one, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And the second parable, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, prudent or not, these two men are making an investment. They are allocating funds to buy something for which they expect a return of greater value. They are going all in. They are selling all they have for that one precious item. They are investing. Now, the question is, are they investing wisely? Now, a pretty easy human argument is that they are not investing wisely. You know, I don't know that much about investing, but I know a few basic principles. First off, you're supposed to diversify. You're supposed to manage risk by having investments in different places. These guys are both going all in, selling literally everything they have for that pearl, for that hidden treasure. Not exactly the wisest move. Secondly, you're not supposed to overextend yourself. You're not supposed to stretch yourself too thin. You're supposed to leave an emergency fund, something for incidentals or for unforeseen events. But both these men, again, they go out and literally sell everything they have for this one single investment. They don't seem to be worried about conventional wisdom on the matter. And thirdly, and this really only applies to the first one, but this man who's found this treasure in this field and goes to buy that field, kind of seems like fraud, doesn't it? He knows that treasure's there, and he's buying it from someone who probably doesn't know it's there. In our own investment world, this would be something like insider trading. But yet, he's going and doing it. So you've got three reasons why this is not really a wise move on the part of either of these gentlemen. But yet, they do it anyway. They make these investments that, according to all of our logic, are not good ideas. But maybe we're supposed to notice this. You see, Jesus, he often works this way, especially with his parables. He tells a parable and something about it doesn't quite compute. And he teaches us from that. Think back a few weeks. We talked about the parable of the sower. The thing that didn't make sense was that he cast his seed everywhere, even on the bad soil. And Jesus taught his disciples through that. Then you've got the parable of the Good Samaritan. We haven't talked about it, but you guys know it. The man was lying there on the side of the road, and the two men who should have helped him didn't. And then that Samaritan came by, the hated foreigner, the last person you'd expect to help. And what did he do? He helped. He did God's calling, God's work. And again, Jesus taught his disciples through that parable. And here we have these men who invest in a way that, according to human wisdom, is not wise. And again, Jesus seeks to teach us. It's supposed to jump out at us as foolish, as irrational, as a poor idea. You see, these men are throwing everything into that one pot, into that one investment. And regardless of how much of a sure thing it may be, the risk, it's simply not worth the potential reward, selling all that you have for one single thing. Man's wisdom says nothing about this makes sense. But you know, in these teaching moments, Jesus often challenges us this way. He challenges us in order to get us to think differently, in order to get us to change our expectations, in order to get us to change our conception of what actually may be wise. So let's talk about wisdom for a second. Because I started off this sermon saying we're going to talk about investing, but specifically making wise investments. So we got to define wisdom, and we'll just take the dictionary definition. Wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. But I think it's also important that we notice the second definition, what being wise is. There's a little intricacy here. the soundness of action or decision with regard to the application of that experience, knowledge, and good judgment. You see, wisdom is not just having the experience and the knowledge, but it's putting it into practice, allowing it to inform your decisions and your actions. So let's talk about investing again. A wise investment is one where you take knowledge, you gather it, you allow it to inform that decision, you use your own experience, but probably more prudently, you use other people's experience, people who are more experienced, who know more about that certain topic, and you use it all to make an informed, wise decision. So here's the question. Did these two men make a wise investment? According to human standards, not really. They made a rash, foolish decision. But yet again, Jesus is teaching us. He tells us that God's kingdom is like these men in search of this hidden treasure, in search of that pearl of great value, who sold everything for it in joy. So what is Jesus teaching us here? Well, he's changing our conceptions. He's changing our expectations. He's changing our wisdom on what a good investment actually is. Because he likens his very kingdom to a man who sells everything for a pearl. A man who sells everything for a field that a treasure is hidden in. One item worth everything you have. One item that is worth everything. Is there a more perfect description of God's kingdom? Is there a more perfect description of what we know we have in Jesus Christ? Of the knowledge of his saving grace? The message is this, that everything we have on earth, everything we own, everything we could hope to have or own or invest in, everything that anyone could possibly have, it pales in comparison to God's kingdom, to what he has given us, to what he has laid in store for us who trust in Jesus. And even before we get to heaven, even before we get to that gift, that reward, there is so much value in being part of his body of believers and being part of him in that comfort and joy he provides. Even that is worth so much more than what this world has to offer. And that's really the truth. God's kingdom is like that pearl. It's like that hidden treasure. And you know, I think we believe that. I think we all know that's true. We confess it each week. We're here for a reason. But here's the question. It's not just about knowing that. It's not just about having that experience. But does that knowledge inform our actions and our decisions? Does the knowledge of what Jesus Christ did for us, does the knowledge of his kingdom change our decision making? Does our experience with God, our experience of the Holy Spirit, our experience of that gathering or that retreat or that time when people came around you in the name of Jesus Christ during a difficult time in your life, or all the times you've been spoken to in worship through song or word or the sacraments, do you allow these things to inform and apply to your everyday life decisions, investments? And I hope you understand by now, I'm not just talking about monetary investments. Sure, that's part of it. But what we're talking about is everything that you invest, everything that you plant, hoping for a return, your time, your talents, your treasures. How do you invest these things? And do you invest it wisely? Do you invest it based on the knowledge and experience you have in Jesus Christ and his kingdom? And you know, when we ask ourselves that question, when I ask myself that question, far too often the answer is no. Far too often I do not take into account what Christ has done for me when making everyday decisions. Far too often we find ourselves looking at human standards, looking at what human conventional wisdom says is wise. And the world says this: make money, build relationships, enjoy life. Make this life as good as you possibly can. And yeah, conventional human wisdom talks about investing. Investing in your education. Investing in your family and relationships. Investing in physical fitness, in health. Investing in families and friends. Investing in sports clubs, hobbies, whether it's for enjoyment, for scholarships, for social advancement. We are told to invest in our retirement. We are told to invest in property, in homes, to invest in all these things. And honestly, these things, they're good things. Even God's word speaks to the value of some of these investments, to the value of a physical training, to the value of good, healthy, earthly relationships, to the value of spending your money wisely, to the value of working hard. These are not bad things to invest in. But when those investments come first, when they're the investments we trust the most, they become idols. Anything we put our trust in before Christ, it's an idol. Anything our identity comes from before and above a child of God, it's an idol. Anything that we put our security in, whether it's money or family, anything that our security is in before Jesus Christ, it's an idol. Anything our meaning comes from before God, it's an idol. All of these things, they so quickly become idols. They so quickly become things that we look to before Jesus, that we make unwise investments in. And here's what I mean. Let me ask a few questions to get you thinking. First of all, what is more important to you? The investment and funds you are saving for your college or your kids' college education, or making sure that you invest in their faith? Making sure you talk to them about faith, making sure they get to church, making sure they get on that retreat. And I know we all know the right answer. But do we actually apply that knowledge and experience in our decisions, in our actions? Here's another one. What's more important to you? Your physical health, beauty, fitness, or the health of your soul? And again, I know we know the right answer, but do we allow that knowledge, that experience to inform our decisions, to inform wise actions? And one more. Which do you think about more? A comfortable retirement or life eternal with Jesus Christ? And again, we know the right answer. We know what's more important. But so many of us, all of us really, we think only about the earthly things. We don't think about the bigger picture. We're not thinking about God's kingdom and the value of God's kingdom. You see, true wisdom is knowing what is most important and investing likewise. By human standards, they don't have the whole picture. They don't have the picture of God's kingdom to come. They don't have the picture of God's kingdom here. And so they invest in things that are not as important. But as Christians, for those of us who already know the truth, for those of us who have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God's forgiveness, we have different things to consider. God's wisdom, not ours. So the question is, how do we find this wisdom? How do we apply it in our lives? How do we use it properly? Well, God's word has a lot to say about that. Our Old Testament reading from Proverbs chapter 2 says this: the value of wisdom, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. True wisdom, knowledge, understanding, they're all gifts from God. They all come from God. They all come from seeking him, from investing in him. Every gift of God's, it gives not only grace, but it gives wisdom and perspective, the ability to choose to invest in the things that are most important, the knowledge, the experience, the sure and certain hope of what he has done for us, his forgiveness, his salvation, these things. Knowing them, they only serve to allow us to invest in the things that are really important. And that's what these parables are teaching us. They're teaching us that God's kingdom has a value so great that nothing on this earth can compare, and we should invest likewise. That's why Jesus makes it clear for us in Matthew chapter 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where is your true treasure? Where is your heart at? The things of this earth, they're trivial, they're temporary. God's kingdom is not. So don't store up treasures here. They're not coming with you. Instead, make your most important investments in Jesus, in faith, in the things that build faith, in the things that protect faith, in the things that encourage faith in other people. Because you're constantly going to be confronted with decisions. Decisions on how you are going to invest your time, your talents, your money. And I hope you choose the most important investments. The next time you have a choice between sleeping in an extra hour or getting to community, joining together with fellow believers and studying God's word, I hope you invest in the thing that will last into eternity. Here's a difficult one for me. The next time you have a choice between one more episode of your favorite show or getting into God's word or praying and spending time speaking to him, I hope you choose the relationship that will last forever, your relationship with him. The next time you're confronted with the decision of man's wisdom versus God's wisdom, choose his love, the love that will last forever. Because at the end of the day, that love is going to be all that's left. It's going to be all that matters. It's the only investment that will count. And as we talk about all these other things that are good things that we invest in, our God knows we need them. He knows we need money in our world today. He knows we need health. He knows we need earthly relationships. But investing in God first is not going to damage our ability to get the things we need. Maybe it will damage our ability to go above and beyond what we need. Maybe it will make some of the things we really don't need fall by the wayside. And so be it. We don't really need them. But investing in God first will only sustain and protect the things we really need. I mean, Jesus lays it out so clearly for us at the end of Matthew chapter 6. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you as well. Seek him first. Invest in Jesus because he invested everything in you, because he has a place set aside for you, a gift so great that it puts everything in this life to shame. It pales in comparison to what Christ has earned for us. And until then, the relationship you have with him, the relationships you gain as part of the body of Christ, they are worth so much more than earthly wisdom and the things that can buy. You know, I talked earlier about insider trading, about how that man who bought that field, knowing that hidden treasure was there, was operating kind of fraudulently, kind of in an insider trading-ish way. And he was. But God's kingdom is kind of like that. God's kingdom is kind of like insider trading because it is a sure thing. Probably shouldn't be legal, and we definitely don't earn it. It's just there for us. It's the best investment we could ever make. It's the best investment we could ever encourage someone else to make. It's the best investment we could ever make for our kids, our spouses, our families, our friends. So children of God, choose to invest wisely. Invest in God's love. Invest in the thing that will last into eternity. Invest in the one who literally invested everything for you. Invest in Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and unto the life everlasting which he earned for us. Amen. At this time,